I just want to speak briefly from the Bible, but it will be short, and I will. If there are gaps in what I'm saying, it's because I'm just trying to work out what to miss. But I just wondered, have you ever heard this in your life? Have you ever read a letter that starts, "We regret that we are unable to offer you this position at the moment"? Yes? Have you ever heard this? Has anybody ever said this to you?
I think we should just be good friends.
Has anyone ever heard that before?
No. Yeah.
Have you ever heard this? The competition has been extremely tough, but I'm really sorry to tell you, you haven't made the team. Or have you ever heard, this is the worst one, "We are really, really, really pleased to announce that so-and-so is our new director." And it's not you. Ow. Have you ever felt like an outsider? Have you ever felt that you're not good enough? Have you ever felt that your face doesn't fit? Have you ever been overlooked? Well, we are looking through our series of Luke, and we're just coming back to the next bit where Jesus had to face rejection. And what I want to do is just look, how did Jesus cope with rejection? Because I think being rejected is one of the biggest tests of our own identity that we'll ever face. It really makes us think who we are and what we're doing. So Jesus had just been through these tests of humility, and then he'd been through this temptation, and how could he live a pure life? And now he starts his ministry, and we're going to read it from Luke chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, turn to it. If you haven't, don't worry, I'll read it out. And we're going to read from Luke 4, verse 16. But basically what happens is Jesus starts his ministry, and then straight away, before he does anything else, people say to Jesus, I want to do it in a London voice, I shouldn't really, like, "Who do you think you are?" I'm sorry. But they say, who do you think you are? What are you going to do? Who says that you're allowed to do that? Why are you going to do it in the first place? Straight away, this is Jesus we're talking about, but he just starts his ministry, and straight away, people are calling into question. And they're rejecting me. So who on earth do you think you are? And so this is a story of rejection. We're going to read from Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to verse 13. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He'd been raised in Nazareth. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. It's interesting to note, he didn't choose it, it was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are being oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at his gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless, you're going to quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Well, what you have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And then Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine came over the whole land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Nahum the Syrian." And when they heard these things, all the synagogue was filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. I just want to talk briefly. How did Jesus cope with being rejected? And the first thing is this. Is Jesus really understood who he was? He understood his identity. Because he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim God's favor. He was just, he just knew that's what God's call on his life to do. And he said, no, look, I know, I can stand here really openly. The Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim good news. If you have given your life to Jesus, and if you were able, with those songs that we were singing with Jerry earlier on, if you were able to say, no, Jesus is the Lord of my life, then this is true. The Spirit of the Lord is on you to bring the blessing and favor of the Lord. Amen. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's on you to do that. And I know this because in Joel 3 and Acts 2, it says, I have poured out my Spirit on all people. And the thing is, we might sit there and think, yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I do believe that. It doesn't really work, does it? No, the Spirit of the Lord is on you to bring the favor of God. God, if you have given your life to Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is on you to proclaim God's favor. And Jesus, he knew that. He knew that. So actually, when all these people reject, it didn't actually really matter because he knew what God's call was on his life. Now, if you can, actually, can anybody give me a really well-known nursery rhyme or song that the words that everyone would know? Okay, something that you can sing.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Okay, twinkle, we'll go for twinkle. Okay, here we go. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to do the actions, okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star for you. Okay, you ready? Twinkle, twinkle. No, 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 you're not allowed to sing. I've got to do this on my own, okay. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the... Right. Somebody carried on. Okay, did you know the most frustrating thing in the world ever is when you hear something and it's not finished? And I do that with my kids to wind them up. Or I used to do it when I was little, all the time. And I used to say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you... Right, are we have dinner now? Dad, finish it! Finish the song! Please finish it. You have to know that is exactly what Jesus did in this passage. Did you know that? Because if you read Isaiah 61, where this bit is from, he stops halfway through. And so all the people are saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the thing that he misses out is, and the day of vengeance of our God. And all the people will be sitting there, what? And he doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. Do you know why? Because today is the day of the Lord's favor. It's the day of the Lord's favor. Do you know, there will come a day of the judgment of the Lord. When Jesus comes, I promise you, trust me, there will come a day when we face judgment and the wrath of God, depending on how we've responded to Jesus. But he stops halfway through and he leaves the people hanging. Because today is the day of the favor of the Lord. And all I want to say to you that is, if you have not been able to say to that today, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, today is the day of God's favor, not the day of God's judgment. You can respond to Jesus right now. There will come a time when vengeance and wrath and judgment will happen, but what will happen then will be depending on how you respond to Jesus. Right now, if you've been rejected or passed over, or some job has been given to somebody else, or some relationship breaks down and you have been rejected, is it going to hurt? Yes, it does hurt. Does it have to define you? No.
No.
It does not have to define you if you are defined in Christ. If you are defined by who you are in Christ, it is not going to define you. Can I just tell you, when I left school, I really, really wanted to go to university. And there was a particular university up north that I wanted to go to. And bizarrely, I do know why, actually, they gave me a really low offer to go to this university. And I tell you, one of the reasons why they gave me a really low offer was because I was walking up the stairs to go to the interview. There was this guy walking up the stairs with loads of paper, looking like he was in a real hurry. He was walking up the stairs and he was struggling. I said, I've got to get upstairs. Anyway, let me just give you a hand. And I was opening the doors and holding these things for him, help him getting up there. Who was interviewing me? That guy. always pays to help people if you see them in trouble. He was the guy that was interviewing me. Gave me a really low offer. Did I get the grades? No. I am sorry to let you know that we are unable to offer you a place at this university at this time. Why did that hurt me so much? I'll tell you why it hurt me so much. Because I wanted to be defined by being known for going to that university. That's what it was. That was my identity. I wanted to be able to say to people, I went to that university. But it didn't happen. And rejection stings when your identity is defined by being accepted by that person, accepted by that job, accepted by that institution, given some position. When our identity is in that, rejection really, really stings. But Jesus did it another way. His identity was in his Father. He knew that he was loved. He knew who he was. And so when all these people said, they suddenly turned quickly and they said, well, we're going to chuck you off the hill. It didn't actually matter to him. His identity was not in their acceptance, but was in how much his Heavenly Father loved him. The other thing, I'm going to move quickly. The other reason why Jesus was able to deal with rejection was this, because he understood what God had called him to do. He was called to proclaim good news to people that can't pay the bills and are racked with debt. He was proclaimed to give good news to the spiritually poor, to proclaim liberty for captives, to those who are bound up in slavery, in sexual exploitation, in addiction, in justice, to the prisoners. He was called to speak truth that brings liberty, to comfort the brokenhearted, to help the blind see. And I think that meant to physically help people who, you know, would walk around with a white stick, but metaphorically as well, people who couldn't see their way in life. He was called to bring light to those people, to liberate the oppressed, those imprisoned by depression, by years of failure, by family. I don't know, but Jesus came that he would bring freedom to those people. He was about setting people free. And I just want to ask you, which one of those things do you feel called to do? God has anointed you to do one of these things, or some of these things, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And actually, it was a really helpful question for me to ask that. And if you're able to say this evening, this afternoon, I don't think any of those things are God's call on my life. I believe that tonight God wants to reawaken some dreams, to do some of those things, to reawaken what God's call on your life is. And if you say to me, yeah, it's easy, but I would like to do all those things, but firstly, I just need to sort my own life out. I just need to get my own house in order and then I can do that. Earlier this week, Dave and I were having a great conversation about some of the conferences that Dave is. Do you mind if I talk about that title that we talked about? So we were just like talking about conferences, and Dave is doing a few things, and it's just really very, very exciting. And then we thought about one title for a prophetic type conference would be this: unqualified. You are unqualified to be prophetic. I am unqualified to be standing here. But do you know, in Christ, we're not. In Jesus, we are qualified. In Jesus Christ, we are qualified to bring good news. The last thing I want to look at really quickly is this. This passage that we read. So Jesus, he knew who he was and he knew what he was called to do. And then he starts talking about this famine and all these people that Elijah helped and who Elijah went to and Elisha. And all I need to say about that is that these are stories of outsiders being brought into the inside. That's the story. Why is it that when there was these famines happening, why did Elisha not go to the people that were expected, but they went to an outsider instead? It's the story of outsiders being brought into the inside. And you may feel that sometimes you've been an outsider because of your status or your nationality or where you've come from or your history or how tall you are or how short you are or your background or anything or the way that you speak or the way that you cut. You may have felt at some point an outsider. Well, the story here that Jesus brings is this, that the outsiders are brought to the inside. Because Israel then was rejecting the Messiah. And what Jesus said was, look, if you want to reject the Messiah, what God is doing, he's just going to go out and out and out. And if you have felt overlooked, now is the time that you will be looked at. And if you have felt rejected in the past, in Christ, no, you want to be accepted. If Israel rejects Jesus, God includes the outsider, depending on how they respond to Jesus. And there are all sorts of ways that we feel can feel rejected. One of the reasons that in a few weeks, how long is it before you go to Athens? Do you know? 3 weeks time. In 3 weeks time, a team of 10 people from the church going out to Athens to help with all the refugees coming over from Afghanistan and Syria. And we're going to go, just for a week, they're going to hand out stuff. Why are we doing that? Because we want to be compassionate, but because God brings the outsider in. And you may have felt that in the past you have been overlooked. You may have felt excluded. But actually now is the time when God wants to bring you in. Friday morning we had a quick prayer meeting. Dave, on Friday morning we had a prayer meeting and Dave shared a prophetic word that if Theo is going to let you come, I just want you to share briefly if that's right.
Anyway, this is what it says in Isaiah 54. It starts talking about foreigners and eunuchs. And does everyone know what a eunuch is in the church? Okay, so a eunuch is a man who's been castrated. So a man is born with the ability to reproduce, and then a eunuch has that ability taken away by man. So everyone in this room, you are given God-given abilities at birth to do incredible things. God designed you for greatness. But sometimes in your life, whether it's sickness, rejection, sometimes even a blessing that defines you, it can castrate you from your potential and your future. And in this passage in Isaiah 54, this is what it says, talking about the eunuchs. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. You get the point, right? Okay, good. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuch who keeps the Sabbath and who chooses what pleases me and holds fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that endures forever. Just think that through. God is saying to the one who cannot have a legacy, he's going to give a legacy better than 1,000 sons and daughters, a name that lasts forever. And I just want to propose today that we were all born with a God-given potential, and stuff can happen, good stuff and bad stuff, that stops you going to the next level. But this passage talks about those who bind themselves to the Lord, those who lean into him. Well, God will give them a legacy that is way beyond what they could have produced in the natural. He'll give them a supernatural legacy, a supernatural inheritance. And I want to say to you that there is a supernatural destiny on your life that you can't actually do in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. You can do it with God. God calls his children to do impossible things. Why? Because it sets us up for a relationship with him. It's about relationship. And so we just want to respond to that. It's a real similar theme to the words that have been brought this afternoon. So I'm going to let Duncan do that, and we'll probably tag team a bit.
Yeah. I feel you may have struggled with rejection for years, but I believe God wants to speak a new day over your life.
Amen.
Of fruitfulness.
Amen.
And it's a new day of fruitfulness that comes from this, from knowing where you stand in Jesus,
yeah.
Knowing where you stand in Christ, and knowing that he has things for you to do, good works that he has prepared in advance for you to do. Could I ask you just to stand? We're going to pray.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to make a very simple response. But if you have had rejection as a theme over your life. And you feel that actually there have been many times when you have been rejected and it has begun to define you. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to to raise your hand. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because I think sometimes there is a shame that is attached to rejection that makes you want to hide away. And we're not going to expose anybody, and we're not going to all turn around and look at you if you've got your hand up. I'd like everybody to have their eyes closed, actually, but I just want people to make a response. And if you feel that there's been a theme of rejection that has been over your life, then I'm going to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and break that in your life, that it would be broken because you know that your Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love. That He knitted you together and He knows your life and He has promised that He will work all things together for the good of those who love Him. So if you've had a theme of rejection on your life, would you mind just raising your hand now? Heavenly Father, I break now a theme of rejection and instead we speak identity hidden in Christ. We speak over these dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Instead of rejection, we want to proclaim fruitfulness. And we declare over you a destiny and a purpose. And that the promises of God being fulfilled in you and fruitfulness, no longer to be like units, no longer to be unfruitful, but instead the fruitfulness of the kingdom all over you. And we declare over you, your identity is now in Jesus Christ, who loved you with an everlasting love, who knitted you together in your mother's womb, who sent His Son to die for you because He loved you and He liked you and He'd got plans, He has plans for your life and plans that will not be thwarted. And we condemn any spirit of rejection over us right now and bring us through to a place of freedom. Father, thank you.